It's what Jesus taught us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. We tend to think of more than just bread when we are in a special day like today. In fact, I was thinking about turkeys. There's a particular brand of turkey out there called Butterball turkey out there. So I did a bit of research. This was really important to me. So Butterball has been around for 59 years. And they have a hotline. Because there's a hotline you can call. It's right on the wrapper. If you have questions, you're going through any kind of turkey trauma, you can call Turkey University, which they sort of nickname it. And you can call Butterball and have questions about how to do your turkey. And that hotline's been there for 35 years. And there are up to 52 people that have to sit there and take calls at Thanksgiving and Christmas as people call about questions about their turkey. Here are some of the calls that have come in at Butterball University. One woman from Colorado called, and you got to keep in mind, in the States, Thanksgiving is towards the end of November. So in Colorado, it could be snowing. She had stored her turkey in a snowbank in her backyard. And then it had snowed some more, and now she couldn't find it. She had no idea where her turkey was, and she's wondering if they could help her find her turkey. Who would call a turkey hotline for something like that? Another woman called, and this is interesting. She called and asked if it would be okay if she would stuff her turkey with popcorn. Stuffed popcorn in a turkey. This is very interesting. Okay, another woman called and asked, how do you thaw a fresh turkey? And she had to be informed that it isn't frozen. You don't have to thaw a fresh turkey. Another restaurant owner called and wanted to know how to roast a turkey for a vegetarian menu. And another woman called and she had, because it said on there, first clean the bird, so she had used bleach to clean the bird and was wondering now how to get rid of that smell and all that stuff. And very upset that she had to throw the bird out and start all over again. So there are people who have trouble with their turkey. Well, most of us have trouble just with Thanksgiving, let alone the Thanksgiving turkey. We don't have to go that far. We have problems with the Thanksgiving itself. And Thanksgiving is traditionally quite a family-oriented experience for us. I read this Thanksgiving card that said this: Thanksgiving is all about getting your entire dysfunctional family under one roof and hoping the police don't get called. Well, hopefully that's not what we're going to experience today or this weekend. Not every family gathering is a happy time. That led me to Proverbs chapter 15. Quickly turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Verse 15, it says this, Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. And my mind just dwelt on that phrase. A cheerful heart has a continual feast. It's ongoing. It's not for the second Monday of October. It is an ongoing attitude and spirit of gratitude. How do you get that? How do you have a continual feast of gratitude? What's the secret? Well, next verse. Verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the awe. It's the trust. It's just totally leaning into God, trusting Him. And when we do, if we really have that experience with God, we can feast with a little. Yeah, great encouragement. It's when I am in my position with God. That's when I get it. That's where the joy is. It is with that as I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer. If we can continue to feast in the Lord, if we fear in the Lord, as I look at what Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. Jesus didn't start the prayer that way. We are not instructed that when you come to God, say, give us today our daily bread. There is a progression that is there. When we come, we are to come with the concerns of God before we bring our concerns. And that first concern is, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's the fear of the Lord. It's coming to God, getting a proper perspective in Him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. There's a key word that is there. That one short little word is the word your. Lord, it's your name. It's your kingdom. It's your will. I pray your. Once I've dealt with your, then there is another shorter word. It's the word us. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation. When I get that relationship right with God, then I am in a place where I can feast continually, even with a little, and be grateful. Because I'm in God's will, and His kingdom is overwhelming me, and I have peace. I have gratitude, I have joy. Very quickly, four quick steps. I want to give a little bit of time for the application of this. The first step to daily bread living is gratitude to God for all His blessings. When Jesus taught us to pray, give us today, that word give implies God is what? A giver. When I say give, it means He gives. He's a giver. What is the first thing you do when someone gives you something? You say thank you. When someone gives me something, it's my response first to say thank you. And so when we say, Father, give us, the first response then is gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you have given. Jesus said in John 3:27, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. What I have is given to me. Hamilton Jordan was the chief of staff for President Jimmy Carter. He went through a journey of cancer a number of times, and he had a friend that was going through cancer. One day, he's talking with his friend about his journey with cancer. And after that journey with his friends, they both had cancer. Hamilton Jordan wrote a book called No Such Thing as a Bad Day. And it's based on his conversation with his friend who was struggling with cancer. And one day he asked his friend, are you having a bad day? And his friend replied, when the doctors tell you you only have 3 months to live, there is no such thing as a bad day. In other words, when you know your time is limited, you wake up and you're intentional and you just soak in every day. You can't afford to have a bad day. You just drink in what's left. Folks, we can't afford to miss being grateful for what we have. The first step is gratitude to God, saying thanks. He's a giver. Secondly, daily bread living means contentment with what God has already given us. It's content what He's given us and will give us. Give us today our daily bread. We don't pray, give us today our daily dessert. Give me today my favorite flavored coffee. Give me today my favorite butterball turkey. Oh, we got so much to be thankful for. And sometimes we just have so much that it's hard to really appreciate what's so basic. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, give us this day our daily chocolate eclair. Give us our daily bread. Being grateful, being content. Being content with the basics. So when things don't always work out, I still have bread. Thirdly, daily bread living means being confident that God will meet my needs day by day. Because Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. There's today and daily. Most of us have freezers that have, well, since I'm in a biased room, so I'll have to use this illustration. Most of us have half a beef in our freezer. Since we have beef farmers, I better refer to beef. Most of us have half a beef in our freezer. We have a few other things. We have frozen vegetables, some frozen desserts. I mean, we're good for quite a few months. But it is today. Daily, what God gives me today that I'm to be content with. We don't like praying for daily stuff. We would rather pray, Lord, give us this year our yearly bread. We like God to kind of, well, Lord, fill my freezer. And that's okay. But am I content if there isn't much in my freezer? Am I today grateful? Just grateful day by day. Today's blessings. We don't always have the stuff to look forward to. We're hoping things would pan out and all those dreams don't come true. But oh, today, thank you, God, for meeting my needs today. Being confident God will meet my needs day by day. Daily. And those who are in a 12-step program know how important it is to live one moment at a time. You don't recover from alcohol on a weekly basis. It's a daily basis. It's a moment-by-moment basis that you learn to walk through things. Daily, we come to grips with God's provision for us. And then lastly, daily bread living means generosity to others less fortunate. Notice, give us and our daily bread. We're not instructed just to pray for ourselves. Because we, our loved ones, but our community and our world, we all eat from the same table. We all eat from the same table. And we are praying that God will meet our needs. And that's part of being part of God's family, our needs. Well, gratitude, contentment, confidence, generosity. How do I apply this? Number one, gratitude is always possible. Better to have a little in the fear of the Lord. So gratitude is something we can experience all the time. 1863 is when Abraham Lincoln established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. What happened in 1863? They're in the middle of a civil war. And in the middle of a civil war, let's give thanks. 1942. Oh, I forgot to write down who was the president at the time. Anyway, it became a legal holiday in the States. It was sort of a spiritual holiday, social holiday. Didn't become a legal holiday until 1942. What were we doing in 1942? We were in World War II. In the darkest of days, we can be grateful. Gratitude is always possible. Secondly, gratitude comes from realizing that God alone is the source of all our blessings. God is the source. I had nothing to do with where I was born. Nothing. I had nothing to do with who were my parents. I had nothing to do with where I grew up. I had nothing to do with where I went to church as a kid. I would like to think I had something to do with who I chose to marry. But you know what? That was God's doing as well. God gave me my sweetheart, my wife. God gave me 4 children. Well, 5, but 4 living. God gave me the churches where I pastored. I look at my life. Everything was God-given and God-filtered. When I look back at my life and the older I get, the more I just see the hand of God in everything. And He alone is the source. Thirdly, daily bread living keeps us from forgetting that God is our source. We read from Deuteronomy 8, "Beware that you become proud and forget the Lord your God." Why do we forget? Pride. We become self-centered. Forgetfulness, it's a horrible thing to go through, being forgetful. I read of one man who was notoriously forgetful. And one day his wife reminded him, "No, sweetheart, don't forget. Today is moving day. When you come home from work, don't come to the house we lived in. The movers will have moved us. You need to go to our new house." "Okay, yes, yes, of course, honey." Day is over, he forgets. He comes back to his old house and the place is empty. And he's walking around, he's wondering, what in the world happened? My house is empty. So he goes outside and he sees a boy on his bike. And he stops him and he says, "Hey, little boy, can you tell me where this family has moved to?" And the boy said, "Aw, Dad, Mom said you'd forget." Well, that's a real source of forgetfulness. But it's amazing how quickly we forget ourselves. The very basic that God has done this, and we forget. We forget. It's all of God. Fourth, it's not unspiritual to pray for physical things. It's not unspiritual to pray for physical things. We are, or we have bodies as well. And God teaches us to pray for our earthly physical needs. "Give us today our daily bread." In fact, Martin Luther, 1529, in his small catechism where he explains his understanding of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and as he makes reference to "give us today our daily bread," this is what Martin Luther wrote, quote, "What does daily bread mean? Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, devoted children, employees, faithful rulers, good government, good weather," and he goes on and on and on. Everything that has to do with our physical lives, God, give us what we need. It's not unspiritual to pray for physical things. Fifth, thank God for all your inconveniences. I didn't know how else to put it. Thank God for all your inconveniences. I came across a little poem that goes like this. It's called "Dirty Dishes." "Thank God for dirty dishes, They have a story to tell. By the stack I have, it seems we're living pretty well. While people of other countries are starving, I haven't the heart to fuss. For by this stack of evidence, God's awfully good to us. Oh, no, we've got to do difference. Yeah? That's like an inconvenience. But there's a reason why we do dishes. In fact, someone has read this or written this. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because that means I have more than enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful that I have a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. My huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. All the complaining I hear about our government, yeah, because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key. It means I can hear. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early morning hours. It means I'm alive. And I'm thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day. It means I've been productive. So thank God for all these little conveniences. It points to blessings. Six. God is glorified. God is glorified when we call on Him and look to Him to answer all our needs and all our prayers. Yes, hallowed be your name. But then, give us today. And how does God bring His kingdom into our hearts and lives? By the blessings that He gives us. There's a progression. We start with God. We end with our needs. That's how God is glorified. His name is hallowed when He gives us daily bread. Seven. God cares deeply about your physical needs. It's very interesting. Before we are instructed to pray, forgive us our sins, we're told to give us this day our daily bread. That's interesting. Interesting progression. When disaster strikes somewhere and Samaritan's Purse flies into this disaster zone, what's the first thing they do? Hand out four spiritual laws? Hand out tracts? What's the first thing they do? They bring them water, they bring them food, they bring them clothes and blankets and all that. So that what? They will see the love of Jesus at work and hopefully an opportunity to share Jesus with them verbally. But it begins by giving them their daily bread so that they will turn to the Lord and ask for forgive us our debts. Seven. Or number eight. Christians will always be needed in meeting physical needs. We will always be needed, and it'll never stop. The chairman of the community charity called on a notorious miser. Sir, said the fundraiser, our records show that despite your wealth, you've never once given to our fund drive. The miser replied, do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who's unable to work? Do your records show that I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet? And the volunteer was all embarrassed and said, well, no, I'm sorry. And our records don't show that, and I'm sorry. Well, said the miser, I don't give money to any of them, so why should I give money to you? Well, that's a bit extreme. Christians will always be needed to meet physical needs. It's one of the ways that we open the doors for the gospel. And lastly, ultimately, Jesus is the answer to the growing uncertainty in our economy. Better is a little in the fear of the Lord. Jesus is the answer to an uncertain economy. To know that this is a time to draw near to God and realize how good and how faithful and that He will meet my request for daily bread. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Just before I close in prayer, Darlene, I want you to come up. Give us a minute to share with us what God is doing in your heart, as I think this is very in keeping and this exemplifies what it means when we thank God and want God to use us through the daily bread. So share with us.
Good morning. I'd like to say Mulashani. That means hello in Zambia, in the area that I'm going to in about less than 2 weeks now. I'm going to be working in an orphanage. It's an AIDS and HIV, positive and negative kids in this orphanage. And it's in Zambia, Africa. And I have a request from my church family. We are very blessed. But it was encouraged, and I didn't want to do this, but because I'm very shy, here I am, asking that my church family have a part, a small part, in my journey. I am trying to collect $200 to buy shoes for some of the kids in the orphanage, and we were asked for the ladies that are going, it's a group of ladies, that we could try to, you know, have our church help us in that. The other request I'm looking for is some receiving blankets, you know, those thin blankets that we wrap the newborns in, and the little tiny washcloths. We're collecting those, and they pack. They're very light to pack those. And the reason, I'm bringing cash for the shoes is the shoes are too heavy, and the dollar goes further if we were to take the money there and make the purchase of the shoes. So that is what I'm appealing to you for, and thank you.
All right. Thank you, Darlene. Okay, thank you for sharing that request. And so as across the pond, they are asking God to give them their daily bread, may we be used by God for that. And so thank you. Let us stand for a word of closing prayer. Father, thank you again for reminding us of the bounty that we have in you. But the bounty is you yourself. You are our joy. You are our supply. You are our peace. You are our giver. Better is a little in the fear of the Lord. But it also reminds us, God, that when we have that fear of the Lord, when we are in that personal, rich relationship with you, we actually have abundance in you. And so today, as again, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are mindful that it's us. Make us mindful of those around that we can reach out as what Darlene has just shared, as we're possibly looking at maybe reaching out to some refugees. There's various ways in which to reach our community, our world. God, as we pray, give us, make us sensitive to the way you want to use the resources you've given us, Lord, to your glory and to open up your world for your kingdom. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed.